Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's never okay to date outside your race. We even as black people don't agree on this.
Where does a man's true value come from?
We have to know what this society and us have allowed to be produced in our children.
One of the greatest orators of the last three generations, one of the most published authors who's been featured in Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, we are having on the show Queen Sister Shahrazad Ali. Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
Why don't you step up like a man? We pretending that sex is all we want to love a man. Most of our men can't lead in their own house because we think we're smarter than you. There's not a child on the earth who rejects their father because he don't give them money. We have women that don't even teach our children manners.
What are the essential qualities that you feel I should be looking at as a man?
The white power structure systematically kept you from...
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode of my co-host, Ryan Ketchins.
Let me tell you, man, I'm ready to put in that work today. We're about to go crazy on this one. Legendary episode.
This is a legendary episode, guys. And not only because we have one of the greatest orators of the last three generations, not only because we have one of the most published authors on black relationships who's been featured in Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3, but because they have went into retirement and is coming out of retirement only to do an episode here with us on Hardly Initiated here today. So this is nothing less than legendary.
Big facts.
That today we are having on the show, Queen Sister Shahrazad Ali is on the show here. Welcome to Hardly Initiated. But before we go ahead and bring this beautiful sister and we reveal her to the platform, we have to show some love to the episode sponsor. So Ryan, go ahead and get us popping.
Absolutely. And this thing, I'm going to be real quick about this one because we got to get the sister on. But guys, let me tell you, I've been telling y'all about this. Me and Tyshawn have put in the work. We whipped that potion up to give you 100 open-ended questions that undoubtedly will take your relationship game, your conversation game to the next level. This is the thing I was telling you about this before we started. Went to a little bingo night at my complex, you know, just kind of be social, meet some new people. I just moved in to the new spot.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the young ladies at the bingo night, she actually watched the show.
Mm.
Talked about the show. So a couple of people afterwards asked me what the show was all about. So told them, of course, number one relationship transformation podcast on the planet, right? And the first thing one of the young ladies said, she says, I hate men.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you. So I just bust out laughing, right? I'm like, yo, what's the deal? She's like, well, you know, I go on these dates, but they're just so awkward. It's like the guys don't know what to say. So I said, look, this is kind of weird, right? I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to go upstairs real quick. I'm going to get you a pack of these Hardly in Love dating cards.
Mm.
And all you got to do is stash them in your purse. So whenever you end up going on that date, all right, I don't know if it's this week, next week, whenever, you're going to be ready.
Yeah.
So it's been a few weeks since then. She actually saw me, ran into me in the elevator, and told me, she was like, Ryan, let me tell you, I did not want to pull out these cards. They wasn't even open. Mm. But she was like, I coincidentally wanted to get some lip gloss, saw the cards, pulled them out on the first day, and she said, although the guy was very apprehensive about it, because she was too ready.
Yeah.
They loved it. 2 hours on the first day, said wow. They had an amazing time. So I'm like, yo, what can, I mean, we won.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's dope.
Incredible.
It's
guys, dope. And I'm telling you, whether you're a new couple, you're an old couple, you're a married couple, conversation needs to be had. So y'all go ahead and have this a part of your collection. The link is in the description. But let's get back to this amazing conversation, because what I must say here is that I have been searching long and hard to find this sister right here. I was thinking to myself, how do I find this sister? And I went to my cabinet, and this book was here. And I realized that, holy crap, the name, the information, your whole, everything I needed was in here the whole time. And this was a very powerful book when I read it, because it taught me a few things. It taught me that this book here, although written in 1989, was covering some of the same things I feel like we're having and struggling with here today. And obviously, I was born in 93, so I wasn't really hip. You laughing at me? You laughing at my age? I was born. See, I wasn't really hip to a lot of the things and the problems that was being had. But I'm going to read this here. This is how the book started. And I think this is very telling, just so we can get insight to what the issues were then. The black man and the black woman in America have a problem. They do not get along. Before the black man can devise a solution, he must know the components of the problem. The first factor is that the black woman is out of control. She does not submit to guidance by her God-given mate, the black man. Her intention to overpower and subdue the black man is motivated by several factors, the most prevalent being her self-inflicted, nearly psychotic insecurity. Her disrespect for the black man is a direct cause of the destruction of the black family. And when I read that first page, I knew that this was about to be a ride.
Right.
Now, from 1989 here to today, sister, do you feel like that message at the top of the book and this entire, the problems that you saw back in 89, is it the same issue we're having as a community and as a family, or has it evolved?
Well, I think, like you said, you were 3 years old or so when the book came out, but you inherited the same problems, because things have exacerbated there in worse condition now, because we have the interference of the media, the Facebook and the Instagrams and all of that, and the cell phone. All of those things have created more problems in our relationships than anything else that we could do.
Now, and see, that's the thing is, you know, the conversation of this gender war, I thought it was a new conversation, because I hear people talking about the gender war all the time now. You know, black men and black women are fighting, blah, 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 blah. And I thought a lot of it had to do with social media, like you said, and what we see on a day-to-day basis. But has there always been a gender war and a rift, even going back to the 80s, between black men and black women?
I think it came to a head about there being an issue between us in the 60s, when the white woman came up with the women's liberation movement. And unfortunately, as black men and black women in this country, even our children, whatever white people problems are, we try to do our own version of that problem. We don't set our own agenda as a rule. We follow behind that. And so when they came up with that, the white woman was not in a sisterhood with us, and she was angry with the white man. And so all of her women's liberation was to get more power, or get away from his power. Whereas we didn't have that issue with you, because we haven't been under your control of power since prior to slavery. Now you're talking almost 600 years ago. So we haven't been in that kind of situation. And we were taught, this is important, I think, we were taught to demand things from you to prove your manhood that the white power structure systematically kept you from getting. Mm. And so that puts you in a position of not being able to win over us if the basis was going to be if you could provide for us and our children. And so contemporary ideas came in about it. Welfare came in, which allowed you as black men to walk away from your responsibility because the white man's welfare system and his food stamps and all of those things, that became our support system. We was married to the government. They were taking care of us, so they became our man figure. We did what he said to do. We qualified so we could get the benefits, and it allowed you for a long time to not have to deal with your responsibilities of taking care of your children. That was optional. But then by the time the 80s came, 20 years later, the white people had changed their ideas about the requirements because of the financial situation the government was in. So they wanted to punish you further by now demanding that you take care of your children, that you pay them back for any money that they took care of your children with, and that now you owe them. And that gave them some power over you, because then they passed laws where they could put you in jail if you did not pay your child support or pay them back for Medicaid, welfare, food stamps, Section 8, whatever it was. And they have fixed it now, whereas even if you die, they can come in and seize your assets in order to pay themselves back. Now, they're not dealing at all with the fact that it's not us that owe them. They owe us. They owe you. But because of their refusal to pay us like they've paid other people, the Indians, the Asians, the Jews, they didn't pay everybody in America but us, because they think that by giving us the welfare, the food stamps, the unemployment, even all of those things, that that's reparations enough for us. All of this is designed to keep you down. This is designed to repress you. There's not a child on the earth who rejects their father because he don't give them money. There's not a child on the earth, in America especially, where children don't want to be with their father because the mother is fighting with him. A man's ability to see his children or interact with them is based on his relationship with that mother. And most of the men, after you all have children and break up, don't get along with the mother. And then the mother leaves and she go have other men, other boyfriends, whatever she want to do, claims the child is just hers, her own. White people say, we pregnant, we having a baby. Black women, we say, I'm pregnant and that's my baby, my son, my daughter. As if you didn't put it in us, or if we would have never had a child. And so, you know, we deal, it's so layered, it's so much. But as I said, we crippled you. Let me say this, because it's going to come back up. We crippled you because we didn't tell you who the enemy was. We thought immigration would take care of that as a problem. And especially after we started going to school with little black girls, little white boys, the little white boys and little black girls. Especially after we started interacting, our children did in school, it made our children think that they were equal.
So, sister, I'm thinking a lot of people would probably be surprised by quite a bit of the information that you're sharing. Especially, I would say people, you know, even the age group that listens to us, maybe between like 25 and 45. Yeah. Because it sounds like the issue goes far back, like prior to, you know, both myself and Tyshawn's birth. And I'm very curious with these two things that have happened. You said the 60s, the white liberation movement, and then the government's involvement with, you know, different laws and the governing in the 80s. What was the, or what would you say the mindset during that time that was adopted by both men and women, black men and black women specifically?
Crack. In the 80s, that was the crack epidemic reaching its height in the early 80s, its peak. The crack was the first thing that they had ever put in our community that separated the mother from the cub, the mother from the baby. Prior to that, we had many two-parent homes. Then we had one-parent home. And by the time crack was over, we had the no-parent home.
Mm.
And we don't realize right now that a lot of the people out here in the world are trying to be normal are the great and great-great-grandchildren of the crackheads. Those children didn't disappear. They're out here in the world now. And then we have raised some children, some of us, who are particularly halfway normal, are decent, are civilized, and they trying to mate with these crackhead descendants. That's very difficult. So the mindset got to be just everybody on their own. Get whatever you can get. And I, one of my books that you'll be showing is Are You Still a Slave? It's a book that has some tests in it to help you figure out, are you still acting like a slave even without a slave master?
Wow.
Because those are habits and traits and examples that were put into us to make us repress each other even if they're not around. And so it shows up in all of those things of everybody just go for self, do whatever, get whatever you can get. And then as more of the child support issue came in, and all of our children want their father when they're little. Everything you practically know about your father was told to you by their mother because she didn't get along with it. If we didn't get along with the man, then we turned his children against him.
It's, yeah, it's really ridiculous. I mean, I remember I didn't even recognize that, you know, a two-family or two-parent household was normal. I remember being 16. I had transfer high schools, and I met a guy, you know, who's now one of my best friends, and we ended up going to a football game, ended up going back to his house after the game, and I met his parents. And I, you know, we went down to the basement to, you know, to play some video games or something like that, and I remember asking him, like, man, you live with both your parents? And he just thought that was the funniest thing, but I had never had any friends that had both a mother and a father in the household. And
I know that you're telling the truth, because when my son went to jail for being a fool himself, he said he was the only one in that end of the whole prison, 1,800 men, that had a picture of his mother and father.
Wow.
Together. He said that people would come by just to see the picture.
Oh, my God.
That's your dad? So this is what has been done to all of us, but in particular to our men. Now that leads us to the next subject, I think. And is that, can a black woman or any woman raise a boy into being a suitable, proper man? And the answer is no. Over 70% of our black women are single, widowed, separated, or divorced. So that means that over 70% of our men have been raised by women. So it makes you all have the mentality of a woman. Some of y'all stand like a woman. Some of you don't know how to respond in certain situations with other men. It has impacted our entire nationality of having women in charge of things. Because we're emotional. We mad, we disappointed, we lonely, we pretending that sex is all we want to love a man. It's so much nonsense now, it has changed. So all the more reason we have women that don't even teach our children manners. They don't even know how to say thank you if they don't learn it in school. And we shouldn't have to turn our children over to the enemy's educational system in order to educate them about how to live out here. As I said, we did you the greatest injustice by not telling you who the enemy was, because we thought it would keep you from getting a job. We thought it was teaching prejudice. We're not prejudging. This is a real situation against you. It's people out here want to kill you every day. When you leave the house, you don't know if you're going to get back. Neither do we. Your mothers, your sisters, your aunts, your women. We don't know, because we don't know which enemy going to roll up on you and kill you. This ain't fantasy. This real.
Big facts.
If you have sons one day, you'll be sure to tell them what the real situation is about us living in a, you living in particular in a hostile environment and trying to normalize our captivity. And so we out here looking at football and baseball and sports, and your rappers are not going to be your next leaders. You all need to be looking at that. Who's going to take those positions? We're all aging out of this. That's the circle of life. And so the hope for our future, the first hope is divine interference.
Divine interference.
And what do you mean by that?
That means that we have to have God to get involved with our situation. Mm. Because we ain't never going to have enough bullets, hospitals, food, water, or anything else to support a war with the enemy.
Help us out, sister. How would you say that spirituality and God impacts relationships overall?
Well, I think it's very important because we have an exaggerated sense of who God is and what his capabilities are. And I think that it helps give you some guidelines. Every relationship is a marriage. Right. Every kind, with whoever it's with, your mother, your father, your sister, whoever it's with, every relationship is a marriage of sorts. And in order to have a marriage that is workable, then you must have some rules and regulations and boundaries. Well, rules and regulations and boundaries are not being taught anymore because nobody's teaching them. The people that's in charge of that, who is the mothers? That's all true about from the cradle and all of that about it take a village. It might, but the village is not prepared. And we are not willing, I think our women today are not willing to make the kind of sacrifices that would have to be made to get our Black nation, and we are a Black nation within a nation, to get our Black nation back on track.
And what are those, and I want to get a picture of what those sacrifices might look like, by the way.
Teaching your children to have manners, teaching your children to respect their elders, teaching your children to obey, to eat their vegetables, to follow the instructions from the teachers in class, to obey, to do their chores, any instruction. We haven't taught that to our children. And if you don't believe that, go in the grocery store with a young woman with her children and see how famished they are, running around and acting like complete fool. And the mother's usually on the phone or something. It don't even matter. Now, I'm not talking about those of us who have tried to improve on our bloodlines. I don't mean that. But however, every nation is judged by its worst examples. So when people from overseas, as an example, look at the Black woman in America, they're not necessarily looking at me or some of the other women that I know. They're looking at corn. Black women in corn. They're looking at today Black women going on the Facebook and the Instagram shaking their naked behinds. Some of my mothers and daughters standing next to each other, shaking their naked behinds. This is the desperation that we have and the penalty that we pay for not getting along with you.
Understood.
You guys think this was gonna be easy?
No, not at all. Not at all. And so sometimes, you know, you need something nice and sweet to drink, but you also got to get your bitters in. And today, we about to get our bitters in today because this is the truth.
And I want to get some clarity from you because, you know, I would consider our platform a non-religious platform. But we see that the level of impact when we have certain spiritual leaders on the platform is typically larger. It'll get more viewership. It'll get more transformation. This is just things that we see from that's communicated to us through the community. Yeah. Now, it also seems that the same people who are getting this level of impact and transformation are also the same people who are like, hey, don't you can say these principally or foundational things to be true, but don't mention God or don't mention this specific religion. Yeah. So I am very curious, when you speak about spirituality, is that different from religion? And regardless of what your answer is, where should someone go to seek out spirituality?
Spirituality is in your basic nature. Your nature has been compromised by evil people who have punished you, embarrassed you, imprisoned you, enslaved you, and did a lot of things to you that they couldn't survive. But here you stand today. You stand under the power of being in the image of God. I tell Black women, it could be the closest to God you ever get is being with a Black man, because you are in the image of God. And that's been the big secret. It's to make you think that you are less than God and that you had no authority or power on the earth. You're in the image of God. You act like God. God made you first. You're the best. You're the wisest. You're the most beautiful. You've just been under some people that made you lose your way. And now it's you have become resistant to resistance because they have used money to define your character. And if you don't have that, they've taught us, as your women, they've taught us to judge you by that. As I said, they have made you accountable for delivering things that they wouldn't let you get and still don't. And if you're getting any big money from a white company, you done gave up yourself totally. You don't have no self left if you got a big job with them, because the requirement is that you have to give up self.
That's a fact.
Your goals in your life, you have to do it. And the men are different today. You know, men have decided in one of the ways that they can get us back for whatever authority we think we have is now they take us out to dinner and don't want to pay for the dinner, get up and walk out. Now they come over to our house and want to eat our dinners or be with us and then remind us that now we're not in a relationship. Because then there's no accountability and you all can do that. You know, so we're living in a time where men also, you all have become more selfish than you've ever been. Because how we have acted and discarded your ego, and because we have felt that we were just free, treat you any kind of way, say anything to you, and that the greatest power we had over you was sex.
How important is, because you're right, I do see, and I have been that brother that's also being very selfish and over communicating where we stand, which ain't no relationship.
About the selfishness, right?
So I want to ask this here, because how important is marriage to us getting our community to the next level and us rebuilding our community? How important of a piece does marriage play in that?
Well, I think that the marriage license is just proof of a long-term, a steady relationship and of unity if trying to work together. So the piece of paper for marriage is doesn't have any more value than if a couple is together and sharing their resources and their food and trying to build a family together with a mother and a father. We didn't make up the system of marriage that is practiced today in America, and it's been very difficult. It's difficult to get along with anybody. As I said, every relationship, look at it as a marriage and see what the standard and quality is of that relationship. We have terrible issues that were put in us, envy and jealousy, insecurity, all of those things, and the evil of poverty. It's evil.
Indeed.
It's very hard to deal with it. That everybody who's got a bad credit rating are ashamed of that in secret. We're embarrassed about that. We don't want to talk about it with nobody, that we have done those things and ruined our credit. But credit wasn't our idea anyway.
Right.
Now, I want to talk to you about...
These things have been forced on us, and we have tried to live under them because we think it'll make us unpopular if we go with our own idea. We think we'll be ostracized. And that's one thing I really try to teach my children and grandchildren. Be yourself. You be you. It don't matter who everybody else is. I'm not trying to raise no followers. I'm trying to raise leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our men can't lead in their own house. Mm. Because we think we're smarter than y'all.
Now, you mentioned, because, you know, sticking along the lines of credit and finances, right? Because I know you talked about, you know, how a man's value is seen by how much money he can earn. And I think it's not just women who see that. I think men, we've adopted that as well. Like, if it's a guy not getting money, we saying the same things that women will say about this particular, you know, these particular guys. And it just seems to be a lot of confusion. I'm confused myself. So help me to understand better. Where does a man's true value come from?
It comes from his behavior and ability to love and forgive, mostly us, because we have led you to all, as I said, 75% of the men in America raised by a woman who is mad at a man. So we put that in you. Some of y'all ain't never even been around your father, but you know you hate him. So your value comes from your behavior. It comes from you helping maybe your parents, being respectful to other elders, helping somebody if you can, trying to take charge of certain situations in your home. Don't let your baby's mother dress your little girl like a little whore. Don't let your baby mama put weaves in your daughter's hair, because that's teaching her that the only way she can be beautiful is if she buys some fake material and glue it on her head. They come from another race of people called Asians. So we don't need to teach that. We don't need to take our little girls and start putting them on makeup, letting them wear thongs, shorts, halter tops. You men know you don't like that. Every father don't really like that.
Not at all.
So we need men who will speak up about that. Like I say, we've tricked y'all on that, this is my baby stuff. And so if you're not in it, and I know it's hard to try to be with your child if the woman don't want you around. You got to go through Big Mama and Auntie, you know. And sister.
Yeah, right.
You got to go through so many people and get accepted or approved of just to see your own child sometimes. And while we do need financial help to take care of our children, it should not be the only criteria that we used in allowing the father to be around the child. Now, I'm not talking about the crazy men out here or the crazy women. I don't mean people that's just out of their mind, a danger to society and themselves and you and everybody. I mean those who are trying to be normal, who are trying to be decent and clean and set a good example. We already know the children don't do what you tell them. They do what they see. So if we have a mother who is modeling fake hair down to her back, all the way down to her knees sometimes, if she is modeling fake eyelashes, if she is modeling fake breasts and BBLs, red lips, all of these things that we do in self-worship, long fingernails, long toenails, everything that we do in self-worship, trying to look like somebody else, or trying to improve on what is already perfect. We the most beautiful women on the planet. And you are the most wonderful, the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. That's how you like God. God made you in his image and he made you first. He didn't make everybody else and then make you. You're the best. That's not to make you have a bravado or over thinking or ego tripping or something. It's just because you don't know to try your best or that you have a choice to be your best. So you don't think nothing of yourself because everybody around you hates you. Your mom hates you. Your sister hates you. The neighbor hates you. The school hates you. You all got a hard life and we don't think about that. Y'all have a hard time. And who can you turn to about it? not anybody you feel like you can trust. Mm-hmm. The trust has been broken. But it's your decision. The brain ain't telling you what to do. You telling the brain what to do. You the God. It's your universe. And you can repair it yourself into that idea. We repair it ourselves and everything else. That's what black people wear, knockoff and fake clothes, designer outfits. You know, the Chanel's, the Lacoste, whatever, the Yves Saint Laurent. We're bad and wear it even if we know it's fake. Because we don't have no identity, so we want to be there. We can be there back. These people hate us. They're using their money to take care of their family, buy their yachts and everything. But we'll buy that just to try to be somebody when you already somebody. You the top somebody of the whole universe. That's the secret. That's what's been kept from you. Mm. People are gonna think I'm just tripping with it. I don't know why I'm crazy. No. Giving you the truth about some things that you need to start considering when you're making decisions in your life. You don't have to start out thinking that you on the bottom. I was around a sister one time and she was telling me about this brother. She said, he think he all that. Yeah, he think. And so I said, well, why can't he think he's all that? He can't think he's all that.
Hmm.
If we tell you that, you can do anything. If we agree and tell you, you know, that's a conversation that you had mentioned earlier that we really do need to have with each other when we're trying to get together and meet. Because we don't know anything about mating. We don't know anything about genetics. We don't know any of that. And we don't have the proper information to study because we, even as black people, don't agree on this.
It's so powerful. It's very strange to me because you drop in these affirmations and I feel myself getting excited
and empowered, right,
and emotional. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? I need this sister like with me. Like she need to be right here with me. And I think a lot of women are confused because the value they are working sacrificially for these corporations, and they are presenting it like, hey, this is how I get my power. This is what makes me powerful. Yeah. So let me ask you, what is a woman's true power? Like, what makes a woman powerful? What should she be working to hone and embrace so she can feel just as successful and confident that she feels when she gets that promotion or that bigger check at her job?
Heaven. We are in charge of heaven for the black man. And we can make heaven or we can make hell. If we make heaven, we'll have a better outcome. The only way we're going to have a better people is we as black women birth them out of my womb. Everybody got to come out of here. And we have power even then because we decide who's going to come out and who we're going to cut off and kill. Mm-hmm. So we have a great deal of power, but I always say we just using the power in the wrong direction. We're using it to destroy ourselves. Our birth rates are down. So it ain't just the white man who's got a lower birth rate. Mm-hmm. Ours are. Because of abortion and birth control, homosexuality, and sickness. So, you know, we decide how long this other power we have. We decide how long you gonna live by what we feed you. Food is what sustains life. And how much stress we put on you. See, we put a lot of extra stress on our man. You already got stress up under the enemy. So it make it really hard for you to heal from anything. Because we turn on you so fast at the first disappointment.
Yeah.
So we have got to continue to try to provide heaven. See, we do obey you. And I talk about submission. I introduced that in society.
Right.
And you know the issues that has brought up.
Both submission and cooperation. Big issues.
It's the same thing. We do have one time when we do agree with you. We follow instructions, we obey, and we submit. And that's NB. It ain't nothing you can tell us to do that y'all tell us to do. We won't try to do it and do it worse. That's what we follow, everything you tell us. And ain't nothing you can tell us that we say, no, I ain't doing that. Uh-uh, we do that. But once we all stand out, and get out of bed, oh, hell erupt. It all comes back. It all comes back to you and tell me what to do. Why don't you step up like a man? How do our girls know what it's like to step up? How do a woman know what it's like to step up like a man? Now, many of us have had good fathers, and so we saw different things that they did. But a father's place in the home is not just to provide financial support. And many of our women think that it is because we want so many material things that we don't make anyway. We ain't going to make no money out of it. But we want so many material things. We have been trying to live under the clock that white people have set. They decided what's popular, what's designer, what we should do, where we should go. They made those decisions. There's nothing keeping us from making decisions about what we're going to do. The churches have failed us. And I'm not a Christian. But I do know that back in the day, they used to have cooking classes. You could go there and learn how to sew. They had, the BYPU, Baptist Young People's Union. And wow, you could go in there and the men would learn different things about weapons, about how to dress, how to walk. Now they call it that swag and all of that, because it's been exaggerated. So.
Right.
But there's just so many things that are not being taught. And people like me, as I said, we're aging out. So the purpose of education is to civilize the people. And if there is no education, any teaching is an education. If there is no education, then we're going to completely go back savage like now.
That's the church of my dreams.
No, really. I mean, what you're saying about church is really powerful. We've had a couple people come on the platform and be critical in that area, which I want to do an episode with some Christian leaders in particular to have a conversation about that. But I actually want to talk about something that you spoke about in your book as well, because, you know, in the book, you pretty much made this comment where you say, hey, black men, before y'all think about leaving and dating outside your race, I need you to understand this. It was like a call to the attention. Mm-hmm. And first of all, before I even go into that, what do you think about a man's psyche, where it is for considering dating outside his race? Do you feel like he's wrong for that? Do you feel like that's the wrong way to think about it? Or is it okay to, you know, open your options and just be open to love in whatever shape or form it comes in?
It's never okay. It's never okay to date outside your race. Okay? It's 4 billion, 400 million people on the earth. It's 50 million or so black people here in America. So I don't see no reason how you can't pick somebody out of 40 or 50 million. Mm. And people hit the lottery every day, but you got to play. You got to be in it. And so, no, of course people want to date outside their race, because after all, the people ain't been through what we've been through. Mm. They don't really know us. We can go in there and pretend to be anybody we want to, and they'll think it's a novelty. Oh, he's black. Yeah. And y'all can have any one of us that you want. That's the other thing. It ain't no woman out of reach. Okay, women leave their big successful husbands for the dry cleaner. The lawnmower. You know, it's all fake. And you need to be able to get your heart on so you can see through that. It's all fake. We're not hard to be with or whatever. Because we're desperate and we're lonely. That's your call. And so that desperation has driven us to do so many horrible things. Sex has been so distorted among our black youth, I'm going to say. And I don't know how long that in my age that would go to.
Yeah, right.
Distorted. Anytime we can decide as a people that it's normal to define sex as spitting in somebody's mouth, choking them, slapping them, or licking them in their rectum. And this is what our young people are practicing. I'm mentioning it. It's a filth, but it has to be mentioned. We have to know what this society and us have allowed to be produced in our children. During the Vietnam War, they would take their BM, put it in a bowl, and stick their arrows in it. Maybe it was something else, I don't know, and twist the arrows around and then shoot at the Americans with it, because it would make them deathly ill, sick, and sometimes kill them. So how have we produced children who think that tossing salad as Chris Rock said is normal. And it's something to do that's connected any kind of way. You know, they urinate on each other, just doing everything and calling that sex. So we didn't get certain information out to them. We were wrong. All that knocking each other's back out. That's not how that's supposed to go.
So I mean, how do we fix this though, you know, at this point? Because obviously you're very big on us fixing our homes and our families.
You have to lead by example. You have to let your community see what righteousness looks like. You have to let the community see that your presence is making a difference. And then you have to separate from people who are negative. You know, some of the ex-slaves, and that's all of us, we all got PTSD, every one of us. If we could separate ourselves from the enemy, from his authority in your life, he don't have some authority because we haven't taken any instructions about doing anything for self. But if we could separate a lot of what we do from them, and if we could teach our children, you know, we talk this African-American stuff and we African-American and all of that. We don't like the Africans and Africans don't like us. We don't go out to lunch with no Africans. They don't come to our house for dinner. Our children don't play together. We're not African-Americans. We're American-Africans. That's different. So we have basic work to do. I don't tell people to go join nothing. I tell them, try to work on them that God gave to you. Try to work on them that you have some authority over. And here's one other thing that needs to be done. This is a show of recommendations. The other thing is that we got over 500,000 little Black children. I don't know how many of them are under 10 where they could really more easily be repaired than a 15 or 16-year-old. But we have a lot of children in these orphanage places. There is no reason that a single brother or a single sister is not picking up one of them children for one weekend a month, one Sunday a month, so that we can help to breed and create a better people. Because if not, we're going to keep reproducing these psychotics who are going to be out here killing our children and grandchildren and us. Ain't no new people going to magically show up. We have to make them. We have to mold them. And we have to put in some sacrifice to get up out of the habits of slavery. And if you're not willing to do that, then you don't really want no success in life. And that you don't really want to help save our nation. This is not an individual thing. One person make it big that we all supposed to be happy.
True.
So there, you know, those kind of things. And because I ain't no man, I can't tell you all of them. I'm just a woman. So you all need to start getting together with each other without the influence of women. You need to, if you can, put your little boys in a boys' school, put your little girls in a girls' school. Wherever you have mixed gender education, it don't come out right. There's a problem. You have to have separation so everybody can be themselves without under the pressure of trying to impress the opposite sex.
Mm.
Now, you have had, you know, it has now being men that are creating these communities where they are coming together. But I would say that a lot of what's being taught and understood is toxic. So yeah. What would you say is missing in those type of communities?
Well, y'all know what's missing. Teaching people that it's just a boy and a girl, you know. And that's not against the homosexual lesbian community. It's just that since we've been here, that's over 555 years, since they drove us over here, we've had a bad diet, the worst diet. We've had bad water. We've had bad air to breathe. And so it's not impossible that many of us have been able to morph into some other idea that's different from everything else that we have deemed as normal. You know, homosexuality started out as being a mental illness. But we don't have different laws and rules and regulations in America based on right or wrong. We have them based on popularity. And so a lot of what we do or approve of, the Quran says it makes evil fair seeming, like everything is okay. Mm-hmm. anything is all right. We may strip it for the sisters, okay, by saying, at least she paying her bill.
That is so true.
So, you know, it's a lot of things that we have just made okay because it was popular. They have changed, but I say all the time, change don't mean better. Change means different. And if it's different, we can make it different again into what we need it to be.
What does it?
Bravery. You have to be really brave to pick up any of these banners I'm talking about and try to do it to work for the salvation of our people and your future seed. Many of our men, they don't know what their father was going through. Look how hard it is today on a black man trying to survive, trying to help take care of a woman, her other children, and himself. Look how hard that is. And many of you are making $400, $500, $600, $700 a week. Well, imagine back in the day when men were making $100 a week and had those same responsibilities pressed on them. You don't know what happened between your mother and your father because we ain't going to tell y'all that. Because we feel like that is not your business. However, we make you pay for it by separating you from the person we married with. Now, I have this other project out now of black men need to be taught to play with dolls. Black boys, I mean, need to be taught to play with dolls. Little girls, babies, bottles, diapers, change them and do all of that. Now, aside from the fact that we have the greatest number of single fathers that we've ever had, we need to be teaching the boys fatherhood like we teach the girls motherhood. For some reason, we have assumed that here's a man raised up without a father, but they automatically don't know how to be a daddy to a child. That don't work like that. We have to be taught everything. Bathing, personal hygiene. You smell out of the boys and little girls. Anyway, you know. We have to be, that's because they haven't been taught. This is called passing on information. And if there's nobody who thinks this important to pass that information on, then our youth are not going to get it. And then they haven't got it. But we need to teach them that because there have been many cases in America where a man or brother playing his video game and the little toddler child come in and turn it off or something, and they beat the child to death. Kick him, stomp him, hit him in the head over a video game. Over dropping their plate, anything. That's because they don't know how to, y'all don't know how to interact with little children. So they need to learn how to hold a baby. How to change a diaper. And that ain't gonna make them gay. How is that gonna make a father gay? When he got to take care of his own children at some point in life. That's ridiculous. That make them gay to sit up in the beauty shop with a boy and let him listen to all of that feminine nonsense all day while you get your hair plaited and stuck on your head?
Facts.
You don't think that make him gay? All he hears is female conversation. All he sees is female clothes and makeup. And that's not saying that we can't feed them and clothe them and house them. But building character as a male is something we can't do. We don't even like you like that, most of you. So we're not going to teach you to be like, yeah. But these are things we used to have women. It's not out of style. Nationhood is never out of style for people in our condition. We used to have women who were willing to cook the right food. And I'm not saying we can't cook every day, all day, because we have to work too to support the things that they say you need in order to look successful. So we have to work too. But just eating this garbage in these fast food places because it's quicker to pick it up on the way home, that's just killing our people. Historically, women are charged in nutrition. The enemy done turned that around. Now the chefs they got is mostly male. And if you want to learn to cook, you got to go to cooking school.
Right.
A man today, a young man, whomever, can't even ask a woman to cook better. Hey, I ain't your mom. No, we have to go out. And you have to give somebody else a lot of money if you're going to take me out. See, most of what our standards are, what we do, is based on us giving white people some money.
Wow.
Think about that. Every activity, every piece of clothes you wear, every dinner you want to know, whatever it is based on us giving them some money. We, you know, we're trying to do a little better, but it's not in the essentials.
So help me out here personally, okay? Because as a man who now would like to get up out these streets and find him what I would want to make a wife and a mother, what are the essential qualities that you feel I should be looking at as a man? Because I feel like we might be looking at the wrong things.
Yeah,
you talked about that distorted lens. What should I be looking at as a man to know that this woman has the raw materials and the qualities to become an amazing wife and mother?
There's a few things, I think. You know, my spiritual son, Kevin Samuels.
Right.
Talk about some of this, you know? But as a woman, I can just tell you that, just coming from a woman, as I said, I'm not a man. I don't have the instincts you have. You may not have all the knowledge that I have, but I don't have your instincts. I don't have your power in your brain. In fact, your brain is bigger than mine. Okay? Made to think and create. But I would look for honesty, a sense of humor, and ability. See, this idea that we seem to have, that all we got to do is dress up and put on a bunch of accoutrements and that makes y'all want us forever. That bubble got to be burst. Mm-hmm. We have got to have some other standards that you all are looking for, because we have controlled you just with sex. And most of the time, if you put two people together and you take sex out of the equation, they ain't going to make it less than a week, because they don't really like each other. But when you put sex in it, that changes the whole thing. And we tend to think as Black women that good sex means love. And our men probably think that too, but it doesn't. It doesn't have the kind of value other than procreation that we have given to it, because we don't have nothing else going. So sex and, you know, sex and drugs. You want to get high and have sex, get drunk, whatever. But it's not that kind of a life force. It's not sustainable. It is really just for birth and children. But nature had to make it feel good and attractive so that we would continue to propagate back to people. That's in all the mammals, the reptile, whatever it is, okay? But it's not the holy grail. That's why you can do it by yourself. You know, we got everything mixed up. Every issue that there is has been distorted and perverted so that we have just chosen not to have no value on anything. But you want to look for a woman that every time you pick her up, she ain't naked. You want to look for a woman that feels that she is trying to be dignified. As I say, we can repair it ourselves. You can be sitting in the gutter and decide that I got dignity and stand up and walk like it and act like it. And people will start saying, think she's something. Yeah. But we have to relearn those behaviors. We have to demand that they put home economics and cooking, child rearing, and so forth back in the school for our girls. So if we're not going to do it, the church is not going to do it. And we have to demand that they put shop and things like that back in the school for our boys. You men like to do things with your hands. There ain't no book, especially full of lies, that don't keep you in school. And I don't take no tests and say, okay, everybody's not college material. You don't have to be. What, get a degree so you can come out and go beg white people for a job? Because they're not teaching how to do for self. You have to be very special to think of that. We haven't had those kind of modeling. We haven't had those kind of examples. We've been marginal the whole time. And so it is difficult. But if we could put things back into some kind of order without tripping and coming up with nothing crazy, you know, normal behavior, what we think is normal, you know, manners. As I said, our women stop pulling their dress up over the head in the public, not thinking that that's all they got. Spend 2-3 hours a day fixing their hair and putting on their eyelashes. That's not going to build us anything. Mm-hmm. And most of my women don't know. Y'all ain't even impressed by it no more. I have lived to see women half-dressed walk into a place and none of the men look up. They just do it. Don't mean anything anymore.
Wow.
That is so true.
Yes.
Man. I think we have been... The bar has definitely been lowered, I will say, because we have become numb and desensitized
right.
to the most, you know, damaging you know, behaviors that we could potentially be displaying as a culture. And what was interesting to me, and I appreciate you breaking down, was just the history of how we got here, because you don't get to the result of what we're seeing online every day in even just one generation or a few years.
Right.
This has been a buildup and has been festering. And at this point, it's really our responsibility, because like you said, we paying the price for whatever has been done before us. And somebody, and not even, look, a lot of us are going to have to really hunker down and be convicted and make a, go the opposite direction of the culture.
The work has to be done. It's no way around it. And if we don't do that, as I say, we just going to become more and more savage and non-existent, and the people who are the greatest people on the earth will be written about in history as blind, deaf, and dumb to the knowledge of self, God, and the devil. Those are the people, and when you just put them in a classification, and I'm not saying for our men to go out hating nobody and all of that. I mean, we hate ourselves enough. We got enough hate in us to cover everything. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to look at self, look at the condition of self. Take your head out the sand and decide that you want to nation build. Those I'm calling on are the descendants of the Black Panthers. People like that. The descendants of the Muslims under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Marcus Garvey. We have not had a great leader since immigration. All of the great leaders we've ever had came up out of the Black womb of a Black college or a university. Since immigration, I know our best example is not Obama. No, that's not it. So anyway, I think I done talked to y'all long enough. Y'all got enough to think about and study.
We sure do.
Yes, ma'am.
We sure
absolutely
do. And it's listen, if you're watching this, it's unfortunate to say that this might be the last interview that you have seen of Sister Shahrazad Ali. But what I want to know is that her work will live forever, because she has put together a library for us that, you know, will live long past, you know, even her years. And the QR code we got here on the screen, it will be right here on the screen that you can get. You can select to go about selecting any one of her books, as right, well as all of her offerings. Also, it will be in the description of this video. So if you want to go ahead and dive into the knowledge and the readings of this amazing sister, you can go about doing so any one of those ways. And, you know, before we let you go, you telling us this is your last time that you're going to be doing this in front of the people. Do you got any final thoughts or words to our audience before you let them go?
Yes. I want to talk about the importance of grieving. I don't mean grieving because a family member or a loved one died. I mean grieving over what we have endured and what we're going to have to endure in the future to come back to ourselves. The affirmation is available for us. I have tried to impart just a little bit tonight so that you all will have something to study and some guidelines, and to know if you have these feelings that I've talked about, you're not crazy, and that you can work. God don't need our help, but it makes you a better person if you work at nation building, if you try to do something to elevate our people. If you all start turning them sisters down because they wearing all them naked clothes and stop taking them out and tell them you got to put off something decent, it ain't got to be skin tight, I don't want to see your breast, ain't nobody else going to see it, they don't have to be on display. We think we have to be on display because that's the only worth we got. But we have a much greater worth than that. And we are already beautiful. The most beautiful. And so those would be my closing words. As I said, you may have to go alone somewhere by yourself and grieve. But sometimes you have to cry. And if I had talked long enough, you'd be crying here.
I believe.
Sister Shahrazad Ali, I can speak for myself and my audience. We absolutely love you.
Amazing.
And appreciate you for coming up on here and sharing with us today. This will be a timeless message that many of us need to hear. Thank you so much for your presence. If you've made it this far in this episode, please, guys, go ahead and give us a like and a subscribe. And look, y'all already know how we do it, y'all. Hardly initiated. We are out.